Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Jack.
And welcome to the...
Yeah, you don't know because you don't know when you're going to put it up.
Thursday edition?
Yeah, what, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I apologize about that.
Kind of
got lost in the weekend, and then I couldn't... Lipson wasn't letting me...
Well, I had people asking FTP. Me, I go, wait, we recorded that a while ago.
Recorded that on Thursday, but I got it out on Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this one will be up promptlier.
Yeah, right.
It's that 4th of July weekend, you know, it's just like that, relax weekend.
Yeah, huh? You know, Lost is still on and people need their Lost news.
I know, right?
Their Lost fix. That's what people are saying. I need my Lost fix.
And so, we had a lot of fun with top five favorite and least favorite moments from season 6.
Yeah, and we're just now getting feedback on it.
Yeah. And
so we really can't talk about it because we're just now getting feedback.
Well, that's why this one's going to be a bit different, a different type of Lost podcast. This one is going to be Jack and I's top 10 shows to fill the Lost void.
I didn't know that we were doing top... I said we were just doing top shows, 10 shows you should watch. But Jay said, no, we got to do a top 10.
It's more fun when you rank them.
But we didn't say
because then we can argue about it.
That's fine.
So...
I'm sure we have some, maybe one or two of the same shows.
I kind of sneaked a peek at your list.
I'm sure you did, because you're a cheater.
And we do have a few here and there. But this should be a lot of fun. Now, I did... Well, we'll get into that when we get the picks. But so Jack and I are going to give 10 shows... to help fill the void that Lost has left in our hearts.
Yes.
So these are just suggestions and fun shows to watch. So we're going to have that as the major part of this show. And we have a few emails that we're going to get into in listener feedback. But we're going to save a lot of the phone calls
and emails for
the next podcast.
When are the Lost DVDs coming out on sale?
I think it's August 24th.
That's what I thought. I've been telling people August 24th. I could have taken the time to look it up, but I believe it's August 24th.
Yeah, it's that Tuesday. Yeah,
and August 24th. Will be doing, once we get our DVDs, we'll do the special edition. We'll do the podcast that day. We're not waiting for the rewatch. That'll be the first podcast before the rewatch.
What are you talking about?
People are asking, when are we going to do the...
like reviewing the DVD set?
Reviewing the DVD set.
Yeah, we're going to do a video podcast that week where we'll look at the packaging and everything.
Yes.
We'll point out all the stops.
Hmm. Okay.
Why? What do you have against that?
I'm just making jokes to myself.
What jokes are you making to yourself?
You gotta listen to it later on.
What did I say? Did I say that's what she said?
No. Well, yeah, you could have had, but this is the wrong podcast. I'm in the wrong mode.
All right.
And if you guys are looking for an explicit podcast,
check out the Married Man.
It's on iTunes, but it's not for children.
No, it's not.
Even though it seems like a lot of kids are listening. We don't condone that. But if they want to listen,
it is an explicit show.
It does help our numbers.
All right. So, Jack, what do you say we get into our top shows to fill the Lost void?
Well, why don't we do the emails first? Are you going to do those last?
Let's do that after this. This is the big monumentous occasion.
Okay.
We're going to delay people any further.
All right.
So here we go. Top 10 shows to fill the Lost void. Here we go.
Okay. Movie picks. Movie picks. TV shows.
You can do that, but you couldn't remember most favorite, least favorite song.
Yeah, I'm old.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I cannot be blamed for things.
I think we got to pull an old yeller with you.
Spoiler alert.
You've gone past your useful life.
Nobody cried when old Yeller died.
Everybody cried.
You know, the next one we should do top 10 movies on DVD.
No, we'll save that for a Jay and Jack show. You're wasting all of our good Jay and Jack show material. That's what the people want.
There is no good Jay material.
All right, so these are our shows, TV shows that we think can help fill the Lost void, because Lost is over now, and
it's over, and it's not coming back until the rewatch.
Until the rewatch.
You know, during this rewatch too, because I was talking to someone yesterday, he's dating a girl who watches Lost. He works at the rink.
Uh huh.
Well, he's a ref at the rink, and he said. He doesn't understand anything going on. I go, I'm telling you what, we're going to do a Lost rewatch. Mm-hmm. Do the Lost rewatch with us. You'll understand, and then you'll have some connection with your girlfriend.
Exactly.
Now, if you don't want to have connection with your girlfriend, then don't. But
Yes, but the rewatch, I mean, if you know people that haven't seen the show, this may be a perfect time to bring them in.
Hey, come over here and watch it, and then you can listen to the podcast, understand what's going on, because I'll give you all the information you need.
All the information you need to know.
Because I'll know what exactly is going on. And people are saying... Will we be doing the crackpot theories? Obviously, season one, we won't.
I think you should.
No, I mean, what ones that I actually said. Starting season two with that episode.
Oh yeah, we're going to do, yeah, with...
And I think we should go back and play a call from that was close. That was probably the best call from that. Who was more right on, you know, who their theory was closest to being correct.
Uh-huh. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to completely re-release the original podcast.
That's right. That's what you said.
Because actually going in and taking out the little things, that's way too much work. Why don't you have the actual podcast? You can hear
it. Always got to make it the easy way.
Well, hey, do you want to edit it and find the stuff and take it out and then republish it?
I have enough trouble carrying you every weekend.
Well, so. Then there you go. So it's going to be re-release podcast with the rewatch stuff too. So
cool.
Should
beans.
Be a lot of fun. All right. So, Jack.
That's the guy that complained during the season that I said that.
It is kind of lame, but.
It is lame, but I, you know, my mom said she'd never heard it before. What are you going to do?
So, Jack, do you want to go first? Or?
I say you go first.
Okay, I'll go first.
Since you've already looked at my list.
I did, but I probably forgot it because they're pretty forgettable. Oh! All right. My number 10 is we're going to start off with a J.J. Abrams show.
Uh-huh.
And this, I think, relates to Lost because Lost is a J.J. Abrams show as well.
Do they have to relate to Lost or could it just be a show that is that people might be...
Well, see, I picked these are ones that try to help to fill the void of Lost. So I think in some sense they have some element that made you love Lost. We'll also hope you love this show.
Lame.
What, I'm actually tying into things and thinking about
it? That's lame.
So this one is a new one on the block, and it's called Fringe. And actually, I think Jack and I both started the first season, and we didn't finish it. I think I made it a little bit further along than Jack.
I made it through to the fourth episode, and I started working that. I started roughing it at night and just couldn't keep up with it.
But Colleen and I started watching it again because we made it a little bit closer towards the end of season one. And it's a very good show. It has it's a bit of kind of the mystery that Lost kind of presents, but it's also very X-Files. Michael Giacchino does the score, who also did the score to Lost. And
he's all right.
And it has really good characters that are memorable and enjoyable to watch on screen. And it has that. So it has the mystery element that Lost had. Has a great musical score from Michael Giacchino. It's different. It's not the same as Lost score, but it's still a great score. And overall, it has the kind of big overarching mythology that Lost has, but it does it more the X-Files style, where there's like a monster of the week, and also there's kind of this underlying kind of mythology in the background.
Are they still doing the things with the leaves and the...
Yeah, and they do that. There's these little kind of...
Are they still doing the thing with the letters?
I'm sorry?
Or was that just the pilot? I can't remember.
What do you mean with the letters?
Remember it would have this is the street, and it would...
Oh, yeah, they do that. Yep, okay. They still do that. Right. Yeah, it definitely has its own style.
Does it still have Joshua Jackson?
Has Joshua Jackson.
Quack.
But, yeah, it's a very good show. It's my number 10. It's to me, so far, it's not on par with Lost. From what I've heard, the second season really kicks
that's
it
what
into
it,
gear.
That's what everyone says. You shouldn't have given up. Follow the second season. And I will catch up probably but for all the people asking, I don't think there'll be a Fringe podcast.
Maybe,
but there might be a podcast that talks about it.
Maybe. So, Fringe, you can get the first season on DVD. The second season just completed, so that should be on DVD shortly. So, if you have Netflix,
That's the way to go. I'm sold on Netflix now,
isn't it? It's great.
It's the best way to go.
So my number 10 is Fringe.
Now, I went a different direction.
Okay.
On most of my shows, because I figured after 6 years, we all need a mental break. Trying to think, well, not you, because you didn't think of anything. But for people that actually sat down and thought of theories and were racking their brains and losing sleep at night, which was most of us, unlike you. But wouldn't you agree?
What?
That you weren't really staying up at night thinking of Lost.
I was staying up at night producing and publishing the show.
That's one thing. But you weren't thinking of the show and what was going on. You had the easy route.
Yeah, sure.
For us people who are actually thinking and just obsessed over the show.
Well, for you, thinking takes a lot more effort than most people.
And it does. So I needed a break. So I'm going a different direction on shows. I'm going for more entertaining shows that you're going to sit down and go, I was just entertained.
Okay, so you're not going for ones that are going to help fill the Lost void. You're going for ones that are just help you forget.
Yes, help you forget. That's what I've decided.
All right.
We all have an opinion. I'm going a different direction.
That's fine.
My first show is a show that came out in 1971.
Ooh, okay.
It's a Western.
Mm-hmm.
A little campy.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone I've shown this show to has enjoyed it. It's Alias Smith and Jones.
Mm-hmm.
It's a takeoff of Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. It's what would have happened if Butch Cassidy and Sundance had gone straight, had joined the military, and it's kind of a takeoff, spinoff of that. It stars Ben Murphy and Pete Duell, the first set, first couple years.
Yeah, I would say, I think it's only like the first, like...
2 years. Once, because Pete Duell, unfortunately, committed suicide.
Yeah.
And Ben Murphy and Pete Duell had a great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
They were just a fantastic team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the, 70s, for a team like that to just get into the characters. I showed it to my family, and didn't we all sit down and watch it?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a family show, even though it has some gunfire, but it's not violent, not by today's standards. It's a fun show. Like I said, towards the end, after Pete Duell leaves, it's kind of hard to get into because they bring another guy in. He was actually the narrator who became, it was Roger Davis, became Hannibal Hayes, and it didn't quite work as well. But the first two seasons are outstanding. They're fun to watch. Just have a good time with it. Get some popcorn. But I'm telling you, you'll enjoy the first. Did you enjoy the first two seasons?
Yeah, definitely. I would say watch it as long as Pete Duell's there. And then once they switch him out, it's just it wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same. They should have gone maybe a different direction, but
mm-hmm.
It's just good. The only problem, I never knew who Alias was. I never figured that out. But it's a great show. Fun to watch. But a little campy.
I think it's only 30 episodes.
I think it's 30. Let's see. I got it right here. 33 episodes with Pete Duell.
Yeah.
But once he leaves, it's a shame that he committed suicide because he was a fine, fine actor.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. All right. So my number 9 is another J.J. Abrams show. This was the show that came out.
Hey, we don't work for him anymore.
Oh, I know. I know. But like I said, this is going to help fill the last void.
I'm just pointing out that you don't work for J.J. Abrams anymore.
This one came out before Lost, and it is called Alias. And
Smith and Jones.
Yeah, right. No, this is a show that features Jennifer Gardner as the lead character named Sydney Bristow. And
is that her name?
Yes. And
that's a show, I would be honest with you, I'm going to stick in my queue. I want to watch that.
It is. It's a very good show.
I hear it dies towards the end.
It does. I haven't gotten that far, but here after, because J.J. Abrams, like most, he kind of stuck around in the first year, 2 years.
So you get bored.
And then once he left to go do Lost, I think, is when the show kind of suffered. But it's actually, it's a very good show. And there's a lot of the classic kind of J.J. Abrams elements that you know and love in the show. You know, there's daddy issues.
you got to have that to have a successful
but it's,
TV
but it's a spy show. It's like a secret agent spy show. And it again has a score by Michael Giacchino. It was actually their first collaboration, I think,
really?
JJ and Michael Giacchino. But it's a very good spy show.
How old are those two?
Huh?
Michael and JJ. How old are those guys?
I think they're in their 30s. Maybe JJ's in his 40s. I know Michael's in his 30s.
Yeah, they're pretty successful for some young guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you think about it, Steven Spielberg was probably in his 20s, 30s when he got
Who?
His big break. Spielberg.
Never heard of him.
It's just that we've been with them for so long, we don't think of them as ever being young, you know.
That's true.
But
Spielberg's probably older than me.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But, you know, the first couple seasons of the show is really good. It brings in, JJ brought in this really cool, there's a very cool mythology to the show. And it's you get very engaged in the story. And I would definitely recommend it for the Lost fans out there. If you haven't seen Alias, check it out. I haven't made it towards the later seasons, from where we've watched it. I hear it does kind of lose itself, but definitely the first two seasons at least are very good. So you can check that out. You can Netflix that. And I don't know if that's on Hulu or not. Some of these I had that are on Hulu, but so check it out. Alias. That was on ABC.
Well, you're two for two because I'm going to definitely watch Fringe and definitely eventually watch Alias. My next one definitely ties into Lost.
Okay.
It stars Julie Bowen, who is Sarah on Lost. It's Modern Family.
Ah, yes.
I'm telling you right now, if you just want to sit back and laugh for 22 minutes, I think that's how long they are with commercials,
mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. It's the funniest show on... I'll say it's better than The Office right now. It's the funniest show on television. It's hilarious. I mean, I know there's some... one. I've only found one person who didn't like it. That girl that used to live in Hawaii is now living in California. Geronimo Jack's beard. But it's hilarious. I think it's the funniest show on TV.
Yeah, it's very good.
I don't know how long it's going to last because of just the different styles they have, but it has Ed O'Neill and some other people in it. It is hilarious. The kids are funny. Everyone on the show is funny.
Yeah, it's a very highly funny recommend show.
It. If you just want to let loose and just forget about life for 22 minutes, Modern Family.
There's
no thinking involved. You just sit back and laugh. Mm-hmm. It's not. I think what makes it funny, it's not a PC show. It's not a politically correct show.
Well, I think any good comedies aren't PC. Like when you think about it, any good comedies in the history of comedy, they're dangerous. They teeter on the line.
Well, like All in the Family.
All in the Family. I mean, MASH.
MASH had its moments.
South Park.
South Park, yeah. They, without question, South Park.
Yeah. So, you know, I think to be dangerous is to be funny.
Yeah, but it's dangerous, and it's not like where South Park you couldn't, probably all ages couldn't watch
no,
it.
No, no.
This is an adult show, but I think that you...
It is more family friendly.
It's definitely family friendly. Yeah. Like where South Park would be like...
I would not show that to my kids.
I'm sorry, I don't know. You shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah, definitely.
Please get up and leave the room.
But some parents let the kids watch that show, which I don't understand, but...
Well, it's like when the kids used to watch Beavis and Butthead.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And that show's tame by today's standards. all right, this...
Or Married with Children, where people were... People wanted that show off the air.
That's a funny show, though.
It is a funny show, but the people wanted that show off the air.
I remember they had the same problem with The Simpsons, because Bart said damn or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, so this actual section is probably the next three picks for me are the more lighthearted fare, but I think at the same time, they're very in-depth, fun shows. And first up here, my number eight is Psych on USA.
Hey, guess who's joining that show?
Who's joining that show?
Someone from Lost.
Oh, really?
Nestor.
Oh, Nestor Carbonell's joining that show?
We had an email from someone today that said that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So now I'll start watching that one consistently.
Oh, man. That's
great. On a
regular
basis. I watch it now and then.
Kind of for the same reason that Jack picked Alias Smith and Jones. The two lead characters on Psych have an awesome, awesome chemistry. Their names escape me at the moment, but let me look it up here.
It is a good show.
It stars James Rhodey as Sean Spencer. And there is Dule Hill from West Wing, who's Sean's best friend, and he's kind of the straight man, and it's Guster. And basically the premise of the show is that Sean Spencer, James Rhodey's character, has a photographic memory, and his dad, who was a cop, kind of taught him from a very young age how to be to develop really good observational skills. And he got in trouble in the pilot episode. And to get his way out of it, he pretended to be a psychic. So then he opened up this fake... Well, it's not fake. He's pretending to be a real psychic detective service.
So he's ripping people off.
No, he actually... But he's very good at what he does. And kind of each week, there's a different case. And
yeah, I don't want to be a spoiler, but every show I've watched, he solves the case.
That's every one you've watched. Yes. But, but you know, it's not too crazy in-depth.
No, it's a fun show.
It's a fun show. And so I wouldn't expect, like, really crazy cases. But there is some episodes that are really deep and really dark. But for the most part, it's lighthearted fun.
It has a great cast,
too. And it has a very, very good cast. And the chemistry between them all works really, really well. So if you want a fun show, it's actually a summer show. It starts in August, I think. And then it comes back... In January.
I've always wondered why it didn't make a major network.
You know, I don't know. I think it just does well for USA, so they don't want to lose it.
Yeah, could be.
But yeah, so check it out. Psych, it's on the USA Network. And it says here, season 5 will premiere July 14th. Oh, so that happens pretty soon, which is exciting. And
that's next week.
Yeah.
Well, Jay releases a podcast. That's 3 weeks ago.
No, you'll be able to check it out. But the DVDs, you can check those out on Netflix, and the current seasons do run on Hulu if you miss it on
Yeah,
the
I agree
TV
with
show.
Shay. It's not a brain twister, but it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jack.
All right, my next one, I kind of hesitated putting this on this one because I'm sure most of the older people have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
But answering the emails over the years, a lot of the younger people would go, I've never watched that.
Uh-huh.
And it's something it should be mandatory watching for anyone who watches Lost. It should be mandatory. The reason I have it so low is one of my, you know, not my top pick, but, you know, up, you know,
uh-huh.
At the eighth pick. Because I think most people have seen it, but the younger people haven't. Twilight Zone.
Ah, yes.
It's a must. I mean, the show makes you think. It's like, wow, you're watching as you're going along and go, oh, I see what they did there.
And you see a lot of influence on Lost from the Twilight
Zone. Right,
and
there have been a few episodes that people have directly, you can go to a Twilight Zone episode and go, okay, I see Lost kind of, not, you know, didn't take from that, but they probably have
inspired
watched
it, by it.
Inspired
yeah.
by it. So definitely have to watch it. I think it ran for like 5 seasons, 156 episodes. Ran for 5 seasons. So they had more episodes back in the 50s and 60s than they do now.
I remember watching it as a little kid. They used to do marathons and stuff like that. And it was like the first show that I ever watched where it really gives you these brain mind
and you have to
twisting.
You have to watch it from start to... It's only 25 minutes with the commercials and stuff. But you have to watch it from start to finish.
Yeah,
it's not one of those things where you can get up and leave and go and come back and go, because you'll mess what's going on.
Exactly. It is one of those ones where you have to pay attention the whole time, and there's usually a very good twist at the end of it that makes you think.
One of my favorite ones is the kid that sends people to the cornfield. Mm-hmm. And I won't give you but it's such a simple twist at the end of what they're just trying to tell you that you go, ah. But what's going on during the whole episode. You're like, wow, what is going on in this episode with this kid? And at the end, you're like going, ah. Okay.
All right. That's a very good pick. All right. So now it's time for my number 7. And it is a comedy. And it is a comedy that has spawned another comedy. But that is the British version of The Office with Ricky Gervais. And I maybe would have picked The Office, but I think everyone's seen that show. But one that probably a lot of people haven't seen, but I think they'd really like if they gave the chance, is the British version of The Office. It's only had 2 seasons of, I believe, 6 episodes. So there's 6 episodes, and I think there's 2 Christmas specials that kind of close out the show.
Isn't the pilot episode of The British Office pretty similar to the pilot episode of the
American one? They pretty much ripped it off
word for word, because I've seen it, and I was like, okay.
But it's British humor, so it's more subtle. But at the same time, Ricky Gervais as Michael Scott.
But that character.
God, I can't remember.
You know, he's leaving.
I know.
This is last season. Will it work without him?
I think they should just end it.
I think they should end.
David Brent, I think, is the character's name that Ricky Gervais plays. Yeah, David Brent. And
he's hilarious.
He is, and again, one of those comedies where it's not PC, it's just through the eyes of this really ignorant character called David Brent that Ricky Gervais created, and the awkward humor in this is legendary, and it's only, 14 episodes, I think, total, but there is what's cool about it, though, is it's a complete series. It's a beginning and middle and end, and it's a very engaging story with characters, and it doesn't take that long to actually watch the whole thing. And the other great thing is this entire series is on Hulu, and you can watch it for free on Hulu. So check out The Office British version. Yeah, exactly.
But I agree. I think when Steve Carell leaves, I don't see how they're going to replace him.
No, I think they should end it personally. But that's just me.
But I've been wrong before. But it'd be 8 years. That's about time for a comedy to kind of.
That is usually kind of the breaking point,
because they had a lot of episodes this last season. You're kind of go. Okay, this is not working.
I liked it.
It was good. It was, but it wasn't as good. You can see it's kind of wearing out. Mm-hmm. When they brought what's her name in, Kathy Bates.
Yeah,
that helped bring some new life into it. Stuff that gave it another dimension. But it is getting to the point where it's kind of like, I think he's smart for leaving.
Yeah,
leave when you're on top instead of leaving when it's like, okay, we're tired of this show. Please go away.
Yeah, and I think they, because about any comedy, it's about eight seasons max.
I think any show.
Yeah.
It's like you go, okay, you run your course.
And mm-hmm. There's only so many times you can kind of have the same adventures every time.
Right. Plus, they're stuck in that little office. How many mm-hmm. different things can they do in the office? But
exactly.
Well, exactly. My number 7 is a comedy. Well, it's a comedy drama. I think it's on Showtime. It's only been on for 2 seasons, and it's called Nurse Jackie.
Ah.
Starring Edie Falco.
It's a comedy?
It's got comedy in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a comedy. I laugh. It's comedy drama. It's kind of a little bit like MASH.
Mm-hmm.
MASH was a comedy, but also had drama in it. It makes you think. It makes you laugh. Well, my only complaint with it, it's too short. It's only a half hour long. So when you get into it, it's not even a half hour because there's no commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably maybe 25 minutes tops. And when you start getting into it, it cuts away.
Really?
It could definitely be an hour show.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't want to go that direction, but it's well acted, well directed. Like I said, make you laugh. Good show. Kill a half hour.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. It does have, it does, there's a lot of nurses that are upset because the main character is a drug addict.
Ah.
So, and she's a nurse. But she's a functioning nurse, so.
Like a functioning alcoholic.
She has a lot of problems. I won't go into all the problems. I don't want to spoil anyone. Well, pretty much first episode, you'll figure it out. But she does a great job.
All right, cool. All right, well, my number, are we on six? Is number six?
This is number six.
My number six is, I would proclaim this is the last of situation comedies. And that is Arrested Development that was on Fox. This show, it only ran for three seasons. But
aren't they making a movie?
No, I think the movie's like kind of one of those things that they say will happen, but it'll never happen.
I thought they were working on it.
But now there's some new thing where it's not going to happen now. So it's kind of like one of those things where if it happens, it happens. But it's a great show. Hilarious cast. And it's one of those shows where you really have to pay attention and watch from the beginning because there are so many jokes that were just little kernels of an Easter egg a few episodes before, and then it just, everything in the show builds upon itself, like all the humor and everything up until the last episode where it really kind of bookends, kind of almost the way Lost kind of bookended, from where you were at the beginning to where you were at the end, and whatever happened in between and Arrested Development was hilarious. So it opens with Tobias
opening his eye?
No.
And closing his eye, does it end with Tobias?
No, but it's a comedy, but it's very high comedy.
It's not PC.
No, not even close. But it's just, it's hilarious. It's a hilarious show. I would say the first, it's hard to get into it at first because the characters are so brash and it's hard to really find people you can associate with or like. But really, if you watch, I'd say the first four episodes or so, give it time, you'll really get what's going on. And it just gets funnier and funnier as it goes along and more in depth as it goes along. I've watched it a few times all the way through now. And each time I watch it, I find something new and hilarious about it. So Arrested Development. And I think that entire series is on Hulu as well. It was on Fox originally.
Hmm. All right. My number six is a show I've been pushing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I know who doesn't like it that I've suggested watch it is Jay. And that is Friday Night Lights.
Ah.
I'm telling you, it is such a good show. The characters, you care about them. The acting is fantastic. I think in the beginning what threw people off because they were trying to do like a reality show. And the camera,
that's what killed it for me. The camera was like getting sick.
Would be like shaking around. It really threw people off. It's been saved. It has one. There's going to be one more season. And next season is the final season, I believe. But I'm telling you, everyone other than Jay that has watched it has liked it. But not a lot of people are watching it. But it's a show that if you sit down, take the time to watch it, you're going to enjoy it. Put through the first couple episodes, I think about three or four, they stopped doing the whole camera thing.
Uh-huh.
I think they realized, okay, this isn't working. We're ticking people off because it's shaking around. It was irritating.
Mm-hmm.
They do that quick move around. You know, I don't know why they did that, but they're trying to make it look like it was a documentary.
Yeah.
And once they got off the documentary, okay, let's make this a TV show that people can watch. It took off. Well, it didn't take off, but
it survived.
It survived. It's funny. It's a show that survived, and the ratings are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it stays because
it has a devout following.
It does have small. It has a very small following, but they have it on DirecTV has it on before they bring it on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shown in uninterrupted without commercials, but it's sponsored by, I think this year it was sponsored by Vaseline.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to watch it without commercials, and it's, like I said, it's one of my favorite shows of all time.
All right. My number five is a show that has really good in-depth mystery. It's only three seasons. The third season, actually, I haven't seen. I heard the network tried to force them to change it, and then the show got canceled. But the first two seasons are great, and it's a show called Veronica Mars. It was on the UPN, then it went to CW, and it was canceled. You can get DVDs off Netflix or rent them wherever you rent DVDs or buy the DVDs. And it's a show about a girl who's...
Cried a river and drowned the whole world?
She's kind of like a private eye. Her father was...
Who's it starring?
Kristen Bell. And
who was also in?
Heroes.
And also in?
Deadwood.
Right. And also in a lot of bad movies.
Yeah. But
one good movie.
This was kind of like her breakout role. But it's just, it's a very smart show It was written by, I'm forgetting his name at the moment, but it was actually, he wrote it originally, Rob Thomas, I believe his name. He wrote it originally as a book, and then he turned it into a TV show, but it has a film noir vibe. It kind of has the overdub kind of talking, monologue talking. But it's a really cool mystery show. Like each episode has like she's trying to figure out some mystery for one of her friends at the school. But there's, in the first season especially, there's this kind of big overarching mystery that's really good. And you get little bits and pieces and clues throughout the entire season. And then you finally find out the answers to everything in the last few episodes. So for those that like mysteries and like to finally get the answers and everything, it's really, really, really well written. And it's in a very engaging mystery. And it's all finished in one season. The second season starts a new mystery, total overarching mystery for the whole season, and then has individual mysteries in the season. So the first two seasons I can highly recommend, and it's also filmed in my beautiful hometown of San Diego.
San Diego. You know, I think that's the one show on your list so far I've never seen.
And yeah, so I think it's very good for people that love the mysteries of Lost, and it's especially good for people that didn't like that Lost didn't give a lot of the answers. I think Veronica Mars, all the mysteries it sets up, it gives you all the answers to it. So
do we want all the answers though?
In this one, yeah, because it's like it's like any mystery drama, but more like crime mystery stuff. So it works really well. That's my number five.
All right, my final five could have been my number one at any point. So my number five is a show that was recommended to us for years or a couple years when we were doing our podcast. You got to watch this show. And I'm like going. Because I saw the original I was a fan of the originals back in the 77, 78, whatever it was. The original Battlestar Galactica. Finally got around to watching BSG. Became addicted to it. I watched it, 2 months? The hard part was trying to find the seasons because you couldn't always find, I got stuck. I couldn't find season three. I believe I was searching, whatever season I was trying to find because they have season two is broken into two parts, right?
And season four.
So I couldn't find maybe it was the end I couldn't find. It was the final season. I had to go, I paid like, I think, $50 for the final.
Our good friend Maggie.
Yeah, she got us hooked on it.
Yeah, let us borrow the DVDs.
But it was trying to find the DVDs, you couldn't find it on Hulu, you couldn't find it on this. It's definitely a show that, at least, I don't know if it's different now, but you have to find the DVDs. I don't think it's on, they're not.
You could definitely Netflix it because it's all on Netflix now.
Okay, it's all on Netflix. Yeah. At the time, I don't think it was, so I paid $50 for the final season, but this is an episode, a show I'm recommending, even though a lot of people didn't like the ending. I like the ending, even though I don't have any, I'm not being biased here because I have no podcast, I have not podcast about it yet. So you can't say, oh, I like the ending because I was tied to it. I was fine with the ending. I understood the ending. I was comfortable with it, but a lot of people didn't like it. But the show is a smart show.
Very smart.
It's well done. The acting is fantastic. Even if you are a fan of the original one, I had a little trouble at the beginning because of different things that are going on. I won't spoil you, but once you get comfortable with that, it's a fantastic show.
It's probably the best political allegory,
right?
Since, I mean, if I could, like, man, I would say MASH, kind of that one, kind of parallel the whole Vietnam War situation.
Right. But a show that could get away with get by the censors by using the word frack, and they use it a lot.
But it tackles so many like human issues,
and it was issues that were current during that time, from 2004 to
a year or two ago. Closed out. But yeah, I mean,
the special effects for a TV show, especially Sci-Fi Network, that is not a major network.
Yeah, phenomenal special effects.
It's amazing.
I think the same special effects people did are the same ones that did Firefly.
Are they? I can't say enough about it. I would strongly recommend the show. Like I said, I wish I would have buckled down and watched it when people were telling me to, because I would have loved to have been part of the community. Fantastic show.
Yes, I would.
If you haven't taken the time to see it, to watch it, find it on Netflix or go out and buy the DVDs.
They have a complete set on DVD and Blu-ray. I think we got the complete Blu-ray set. And if you
not all rich like you, Jay.
Well, no, I mean, if you wait for the sales on Amazon, they kind of do them every now and then, you can get it for a pretty decent price instead of buying individual where you'd pay more. Or eBay, too. You can
it was, for me, auctions. Probably the best, because some people are watching it now and they're saying, oh, they hate wait. They're glad they didn't have to wait.
Yeah.
To watch it.
Mm-hmm.
There's been spinoffs, Caprica, and it's all right, but it's nothing compared to this show. The show was, like I said, it's just an amazing, amazing show. And
mm-hmm.
I wish it would have lasted a little longer, but I can see why they ended it when they did.
My number four is a TV show on Showtime, and it's called Dexter.
Dexter.
And this is a different type of show. Again, it's serialized, and each season kind of has a different mystery that's trying to be solved, instead of one gigantic mysterious island we're trying to all figure out. But it's it's definitely something that makes you think, makes you question your morals, and it's about a serial killer, but a serial killer who kills bad guys.
And I'm cool with that.
He's got it in his head from something that happened to him when he was a child, and he was messed up mentally to where he has this desire to kill. And his adoptive father kind of trained him to kind of hone these
killing skills,
this bloodlust to attack people that deserve to be killed.
Kind of like a death wish.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more. It's a very graphic show.
Probably smarter than Death Wish.
Yeah, it's a very graphic show. This is a very adult show.
Did you ever watch the episode with Patrick Labateau?
No, we're actually starting season four right now.
I've only seen one episode.
And that was of this season.
And I'm going to go back and watch it because I just that episode.
The first season is really good. The first season is awesome. Second and third seasons are good. Not as good as the first season, but I've heard the fourth season this season with John Lithgow have been awesome, comparable to season one.
He's in that one with Patrick Labateau. Yeah. So.
But I would definitely suggest it. Netflix, I think the first three seasons are on DVD. And I think it's a show that you'd really enjoy. And it's one that definitely is a bit of a mind twister. It's definitely not one for the kids to watch. But it's a very good show.
Unless your kid's a future killer.
It's a crazy... Come on.
If you can tell, you know.
That's terrible. But it's
sometimes you just know.
But it is weird when a show can make you root for the psychopath killer in the end.
Well, if he's killing people that are worse than him,
uh-huh.
I guess you could root for him, right?
But check it out. It's Dexter on Showtime.
Dexter on Showtime. My next one is it's a miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
I will say my favorite miniseries of all time. It's a show that came out on HBO, Playtone. Tom Cruise, Steven Spielberg. What was it?
Tom Cruise?
Oh, Tom Hanks, I'm sorry. Where did I get Tom Cruise at?
I don't know.
Got Tom Cruise on the mind. I'm in love! No. I don't have a couch to jump on. It's Band of Brothers.
Ah, yes.
This show is, again, it's pretty graphic. It's probably the way...
Same vein as probably Saving Private Ryan, right?
Yeah, it's same. It's not as graphic as Pacific was.
Uh-huh.
And for those people that have been asking, Pacific, for me, was not as good as Band of Brothers. Probably not even close. It was good,
uh-huh.
But it's kind of like comparing Lost to, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a show that would be maybe Fringe. And it's not fair because I haven't seen all of them.
Maybe Flash Forward?
Flash Forward to Lost. I mean, Flash Forward was good, but no way was it anywhere close to being Lost.
Well, what I'm heard is they didn't spend a lot of time to like making you care about the characters.
They didn't.
Which I think might have been its tough
part. It was just because Band of Brothers, and it's sad because both... were real. I mean, they were real characters, but you didn't care as much about the characters in Pacific because they just didn't. They didn't spend a lot of time with them. Band of Brothers, from the start, you care about the people you're supposed to like. You root for the people you don't like. You root against. It's how a war should be shown to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's very graphic. It's very violent. This war was probably a necessary war, where a lot of might not be.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have but when you watch this, you go, oh my God, what these guys went through to preserve our freedom is just amazing. And unlike Lost, where a lot of people didn't like the ending, I don't see anyone not liking the ending to Band of Brothers. Well, maybe some people in other countries, I think two or three that may not like it, but seriously, it's a great, great, great show.
Well, yeah, I think it's different in Lost in that it's real life.
It is
so
real life.
It's not so much they had to create this world or anything
like
that.
And for the most part, they stayed true to the story. There's some parts where they kind of, because I've read the books,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of...
It's based on like a biography, right?
Yeah, it was a biography by Dick Winters. Major Dick Winters, and that guy, it's just you just want to walk up and find these guys and shake their hands. It's mm-hmm. the ones that are still alive.
Yeah,
because most of them have passed away. But it's so well acted, so believable. You can't believe it. It's filmed a lot of it on a set, and you can't even believe it's on a set.
Yeah,
it is so well done, and but again, it's not for everyone. Very very graphic. It's war. Mm-hmm. It's not like your father's war movies, where it's Audie Murphy going there and
yeah,
where you see he gets shot, but there's no blood. Mm-hmm. There's blood.
and there will be blood.
And there's going to be times where you tear up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched this. I don't know how many times. How many times I've watched it, and at the end,
six.
I've watched it more than six, and at the end, I still tear up.
All right.
So Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers. All right. My number three is a show it's still kind of fresh. Still kind of just started its third season, but I think it's a show that, if you like the cliffhangers in Lost, this show probably has some of the most, like, oh my god, I gotta see what's next cliffhangers out of any show I've ever seen. And
Full House?
No. And that is True Blood on HBO. It's a more mythological type show.
Is this the porn show?
Yeah, it is a very sexually graphic show.
Now, I've watched the first episode, and I was sitting down watching it with my daughter.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really feel comfortable watching it with my daughter.
Yeah, it's probably not one you want to watch with your kids. But at the same time, it's really engaging. The characters are really... There's a lot of really good characters that are very different. And it's great to kind of see it all kind of come together. And what I love about it is it's this world where all of the monsters in the night that were at least make-believe in our world, in this world, they're not. And... They function.
What?
They function. They try to function, or cohabitate as well as possible in our world, and.
But they're not in our world, are they?
They are.
In our world?
Oh, in our real world, no. But
I'm having bad dreams.
It's a really good show, and it has a really good story. Has really good kind of overarching series kind of drama. Each season, I think the first season was like 14 or 12 episodes. Second season was 12 episodes. Now they're on their third season, or like three episodes in. But it's a show that's very good, and it'll make you want more after every single episode, I believe. And but it is a show that is graphic, not only with violence, but the sexual nature. So if those are things that maybe can kind of turn you off, this might not be your show. But if you can watch the show with this type of stuff in it, I think you'd really like it. And I think most people that I've talked to that have watched the show really, really like the show. So that is True Blood on HBO, and you can Netflix the first two seasons on DVD. So there you go.
All right, my third show is, I'm a big Western fan. You know, I watched the Big Valley. I've been watching old Gunsmoke episodes mm-hmm. since I've been laid up since the surgery.
Yeah.
But this Western is not my parents' Westerns. It's not my Westerns. It's not Elias Smith and Jones. It's called Deadwood.
Ah, great show.
It is a fantastic show. So it's written, the style is so different from any other show you're ever going to watch.
Yeah.
And it's very graphic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, the language is,
it's vulgar.
If you don't like vulgar language, do not watch this show. My wife had trouble watching it first because women are treated pretty poorly,
mm-hmm.
but it's just staying true to the story. That's just how women were treated.
Or their era.
Yeah, that era. That was how they were treated then. Unfortunately, I mean, as wrong as it was, that's just how it was.
Mm-hmm.
But once she sat down and watched it, I watched it again from start to finish, and she did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Once she got past the part where the women are just treated like crap.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately, it doesn't have a true ending.
No.
And I'm recommending this show even though it doesn't have an ending. But it, for me... I still watch it now when it comes on, if it comes on HBO or if it's on TV, I'll watch it. It's a great, the acting is fantastic. You care so much about the characters, even the bad guys.
Yeah.
The bad guy turns out to be not such a bad guy.
Well, he's a bad guy, but then there's bigger bad guys. So then right. You start to root for the little bad guy.
Maybe he's the Dexter of the 1800s.
Maybe not so bad. It's just like, I think us as humans just always have a desire to root for the underdog. And the bad guy is kind of the big bad guy at first, becomes smaller and smaller and smaller
unfortunately,
as time goes on.
They had set this thing up where season four would have been probably amazing,
mm-hmm.
and it never happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's obviously anyone who's a Deadwood fan, that's the biggest disappointment, yeah. that you just get left hanging.
You do.
But I don't think anyone, everyone I've talked to who watches Deadwood, it hasn't ruined it for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they we're all wish they would at least do a movie, finish it off with a movie or something like that. It's probably never going to happen because it's been, what, 4 or 5, 3 years?
It's been a while. It's got to be at least 4 years.
So I'm telling you ahead of time, there is no real ending,
mm-hmm.
but watch it.
Yeah, I think if anything Deadwood offers, it offers just really, really rich written dialogue.
Right.
It's very in-depth. I mean, it's very like Shakespearean in the way it's written.
I watched the making of how they would do the writing,
mm-hmm.
and they would just set it up. They have on a big TV screen, and the guy would sit around, and they'd walk around. He'd walk around. He'd lay on the ground. He'd, no, that line doesn't work. That line doesn't work.
Yeah.
And even the actors, I can't remember if they said the actors had a say in what they would say,
mm-hmm.
but basically, no, they had to do what he wanted them to do,
mm-hmm.
which was, they have some big name actors in there, but yeah. it worked, and it is a great, great show, and it's just a shame it didn't have a conclusion. Maybe it would have gone down as one of the best shows in history if it had a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty, it's just in limbo, just kind of sitting there. But you can go online, though, and kind of see how it kind of ended. Because it's based on a true story. The characters, for the most
part, I would say loosely based.
Loosely based, but it is based on real, the characters, most of the characters are real.
Based on, real characters. But because I've read the whole history of Deadwood and all the characters, it's pretty loose.
And it's not PC at all. I mean, it's some of the language there, you're going to get the N-word, you're going to get any ethnic slur.
Is in there. Yeah.
Women are called... It's amazing what women are called in this thing. It's just,
you think it's amazing?
Not amazing, but it's incredible. I'm just giving people fair warning that haven't seen it. You're gonna, starting from the first episode, you're gonna be like, what?
Yeah, it is a show that's jarring in its vulgarity. A
lot of prostitution.
But it's still a very good show. I would agree. It's a very highly recommended show. All right, my number two is probably. Before Lost, this was kind of like the big kind of culture-changing show, and that is X-Files. That was on Fox. And this show, it kind of asks those same questions at Lost, kind of those who are we, why are we here questions. And this one kind of focuses more on the more alien type questions, but there's still some more mythological type stuff in it as well. And this show, unlike Lost, where it's the whole entire show is focused on the mythology pretty much, this show has what they call myth arc episodes that focus on the kind of big picture, of the X-Files mythology, but then also has Monster of the Week episodes, which is focused on a specific problem in that episode. So there's, what's cool about it is that it's able to space out the mythology, so where it doesn't kind of slow down. There's probably about 6 myth arc episodes a season, and the rest are kind of Monster of the Week kind of episodes. And the charisma between the two lead, Mulder and Scully, is very good. I would highly recommend it. The first 6 seasons are awesome. After that, it does kind of lose its way because it kind of stayed around too long.
I've heard stay away from the movie.
The second movie. The first movie is actually really good. It's all mythology based. The second movie is more Monster of the Week, and it was like a long episode. It wasn't terrible, but it was just basically a Monster of the Week episode. It didn't really involve any of the mythology.
I've only seen the first season so far, and it was good, but there was. At first, the chemistry is not there between the two characters, two main characters. I'm drawing a blank.
Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, it's not there at first.
I think it gets there.
It gets there, but at first, you have to stick with it. I'm just telling people stick with it because the chemistry is not there. Maybe that's what they were going for.
It does well. What's great about it is David Duchovny's character. He's the believer,
right?
And Gillian Anderson, her character Scully,
I don't know if they wrote better lines for her or she became a better actress. Because first,
she's a different. It's having the skeptic and the believer.
But there was something about her I didn't like at first.
She is. She's grating at first.
Towards the end of the season, I go, Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe she became more comfortable in the role.
I think so.
Because she wasn't at first.
She wasn't. But I think that also it kind of goes with what her character was going through.
And I don't know. That may have been her first big break.
That was her first big show.
That was kind of getting into the flow.
But I think that works for her character because she was just kind of introduced to the craziness of this. She didn't believe. She doesn't believe in, you know, UFOs or aliens and stuff like that. And David Duchovny's character, he's like a complete believer. So kind of the same way you kind of had the Locke and Jack kind of dichotomy thing. There's kind of the same thing going on between Mulder and Scully.
But Scully has hair.
And yeah. But David Duchovny's character, he's just, I love David Duchovny. He's very personable. He's very charismatic and fun to watch.
He's a fun actor. That was his big role too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of his big break. So I would definitely suggest that it kind of has a lot of the same elements that made Lost great are in X-Files as well. So X-Files, you can, I believe, from what I understand, if you're part of Hulu Plus, you can watch the entire show.
Hulu, what is Hulu Plus?
It's that new thing to where you can put on your iPads or your iPhones or iPods.
What if I don't have an iPad?
You have an iPod Touch, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it works on that too.
Okay. What about it? What's that Gizmo stuff I keep seeing on Twitter?
Gizmodo?
Was that Gizmodo? Is that what it is?
It's a periodical, isn't it?
I don't know. I always say I'm watching it on Gizmodo.
Oh.
I don't take the time to look it up.
It's a gadget guide. Yeah, it's a. Or is it called Gizmo?
Gizmo, yeah. I always see people watching there, just watching da-da-da on Gizmo. That's what my first thought was. You just showed it, the
Gizmo from
Gremlins.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think you're crazy.
All right. Maybe I am. This next show, my number two, is a show, I got to be honest with you. When it would win all the awards, I'd be so ticked off. I'd be like, come on. Are you kidding? Like, it would always beat out Lost. Or Lost would even get nominated. I'd go, come on. Nobody's even watching this show. Why is it winning all the awards? It won like 3 Golden Globes for best dramatic show in a row. I'm like, and I just would get ticked off. So finally one day I told my wife, I said, you know, let's check out this show because everyone keeps saying it's a good show and it's always winning all the awards. Let's see if it's really. So we got Netflix. We got the first couple episodes of season one.
Yeah.
And it's Mad Men.
Ah, yes.
And I'm going to tell you right now, it's earned the awards. It's a great show. It's based on an ad agency in the 60s. If you like smoking, drinking, cheating on your wife, this is the show for you, I'm telling you, without spoiling it too much.
Jeez, Jack.
I'm just saying.
Your top shows here are like all about womanizers.
That's why we rolled back in the 60s. Well, the whole, it cracks me up because I grew up in the 60s, and so when you see smoking, everyone's smoking this show.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if you're getting smoking, you get shot.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to smoke anywhere, but people are, there's a scene where the doctor is checking out she's pregnant, and he's smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Different
time.
Well, you know, and the pregnant women are drinking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Good times for all. But there was another scene where the mother, the kid comes with a garment, the plastic bag, a dry cleaner bag,
mm-hmm.
and she's got the bag over her face. So you think the mother would say, what are you doing? You can't have that. You could die having that bag. No, she goes, you better not have messed up my dress. And that's how it was growing up in the 60s. That's mm-hmm. It's true. It's true to form.
More innocent time.
Or there was another scene where, I'm not spoiling anything, but this kid's running through the house and he knocks something off the table. Well, you think it's the dad, smacks the kid.
Yeah.
Dad comes up, hey, what's the other guy comes up, what's wrong? You better say something to your son. That's how it was.
Yeah.
Other adults could smack you for getting out of line. You know how it says, it takes a village? Well, the village would beat you back in the 60s.
Okay.
That's just the way it was. But it's a fantastic show. I watched it on Netflix. Season 4 is starting up July 25th.
Okay.
And it does leave on a, season 3 does leave on a big cliffhanger. But it's a character-driven show,
mm-hmm.
like Lost. But it does give answers. I can't wait for season. When we finished the DVDs about 3 months ago, and I'm like, oh, I got to wait 3 months? Which is probably, you have to normally wait
that's
6 or 7.
That's nothing in Lost.
Exactly. Time. So I can't say enough about it. Go watch it. It's a very chauvinistic show.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual harassment was rampant back then. That was probably what we call today sexual harassment is nothing compared to what actual sexual harassment was back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, women were just treated like sex objects and just basically mm-hmm. furniture and stuff like that. But definitely, definitely highly recommend Mad Men.
Okay. All right. So my number one is
Full House.
Is a show you already mentioned, but it's Battlestar Galactica.
BSG to the true fans.
But I think
it's Battlestar Galactica was the first one.
Yes, it's you get what we're saying here. But it's
I don't want to confuse people.
It's a show that I think is probably closest in scope in terms of just like a big series with a large ensemble cast with great acting, great writing, great drama, and it's a show that
and takes chances.
It does. It takes chances, and I think it's so well written, and it's so spot on with so many of the human intricacies in life. I mean, if you look at history, and you see, you know, it's very cyclical. You know, stuff repeats itself all the time, and I think Battlestar Galactica really honed in on a lot of what human society is capable of. The good things are capable of, at the same time, the terrible things are capable of. And I think it's a really good mirror to the human condition. And I think it's probably one of the best shows that's been on TV in the past century.
And it's a show that would, if I can add something, it's a show that it's from another, it's a remake of another show.
Mm-hmm. But it makes you not even care about the other show.
Yeah, they personally did such a better job. But obviously from the time, you know, you can't really compare the times. But they were able to, because my main objective, I was like, well, how are they going to, what direction are they going to go with this? It didn't work the first time, and back then it was just after Star Wars, so how is it going to work now?
Mm-hmm.
And they did, it was a fantastic job.
Well, the thing is, it's not about, I mean, it has space fights and it's space, whatever, but it's really, that's just a background to the characters.
Right, it's not a special effects show.
But it has great special effects.
Where the original was probably more of a special, and that's where it got into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, but they were limited on what they could do back in the 70s. They could, there's no way they could have done what they're doing now.
No.
And it wouldn't have been believable back in the 70s what they do, without spoiling it, what they do now,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Once you watch it, you'll, if you watch the first, if you ever seen the first one, you watch the second one, you'll be like, I understand what he's rambling about now. Because there's no way they, because growing up, there's no way they could have done, because people wouldn't have accepted it.
No.
There's just certain things that people are going, no, I'm no way. No way.
But check it out. It's
especially the guys from Mad Men.
Well, that's what I love about too is the female characters, they're action-packed heroes.
They're probably stronger than the male
characters. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the two main characters from the first one, the female character is stronger than the male character in this one.
Yeah, and that's what I think is really cool about it too, is it has strong female roles,
right?
Which you don't even in today you don't really see too much.
No,
and
you had a little bit on Lost, but they still had the little
a little bit, but they still kind of fell into the same kind of like
right. They're running through the forest and they fall.
Fall, you know, to who she love, who she's gonna pick.
Well, there's a scene without spoiling it too much. There's a scene where you actually see a man and woman fighting.
Yeah,
and it's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And
because it really, the women and men in the show are equals.
And there's no way the original one, they could have done that and gotten away with that.
No, but in the original one, they were very much like damsels in distress, the women on that show.
They were eye candy. And not that they're not eye candy on this show, but they're
just as strong as the male characters.
The first one, they were just, that's all they were there for.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to make one of them tough, but come on. It didn't work.
But let's check it out, Battlestar Galactica.
Yes. My number one, I'm rewatching it right now. It's funny, during the rewatch, I just noticed I didn't watch the first couple seasons consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was working Wednesday. I think it was on Wednesday nights. I think it's an ABC show, too. Pretty amazing. But
you work for ABC?
Maybe it's ABC. Maybe it's NBC. I don't remember what channel it was on.
Okay.
I'm looking right now.
I can help you once you say it.
I'm looking right now. It's probably, I'd say, right up there with Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Is my favorite show of all time.
All time.
Of all time. I'm so into this show right now. We just finished season 4, and now we're moving to season 5.
It was NBC.
Yeah, it was. I just saw it. NBC is The West Wing. From the music, from the opening theme, to the writing, the directing, the acting is fantastic. Most people say, I'm not into politics. I don't want to watch. It is a politically driven show, but the characters and the way they handle it is fantastic, and you'll laugh, you'll cry, and even if you're one party to the other party, it's slanted to the left. It's a Democratic, obviously the characters are, but they don't bash the Republicans. It's not like you're watching something like today's you know, you're watching Fox or watching NBC where they're bashing, they're so one-sided, you can't, you know, you want to throw up. It's well done. And you can see that it's based on some, I think it was based on Clinton, the main character, somewhat, because it does take some, it takes some shots at him. It also backs him up when it should be done. They take some shots at George Bush, and they kind of back him up sometimes. So, and it shows you that in a, when you think about it, it takes, we all want this one leader to be the supreme leader and guide us to it. But in today's society, it takes more than just one person. And you would kind of hope that this is the way our country's supposed to run. Now, there's deal side, and it's true to the fact there's side deals going on the whole time. But you want your, you can't just have this one guy. It has to takes a whole team to run the country.
Well, Bartlet is really in the show a very idealized president,
right? And he makes mistakes.
Yeah,
and he makes mistakes because he has leanings that he, but his the second in command, Leo McGarry, he kind of guides him in a way that maybe he should go. He makes not decisions for him, but he gives him advice that sometimes he takes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic show.
It's an Aaron Sorkin drama, and yeah. Anything he does is really in depth.
Plus, it has the Lost connection as Allison Janning from everyone's favorite episode, Across the Sea. She played Mother in Across the Sea. It's fantastic, and you know. And I keep looking at Rob Lowe going, that is a handsome man. Who wouldn't want to be Rob Lowe?
He still looks good.
Yeah, he pisses me off. I think we're about the same age.
Are you guys?
Yeah, and he just, well, let me find out. But he's just, you look at him and go, he's just, I mean, who would marry that guy? He's too pretty. He's 2 years old, younger than me. Look at him.
I know, he's a handsome guy.
God. who wouldn't want to be Rob Lowe? I'm jealous.
Man.
But I can't say enough about it. If you're worried about it, oh, I don't want to be in politics. I don't want to watch Fox News. I don't watch MSNBC. MSNBC. It's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives you kind of behind the scenes of how the country works, and it makes you think. Like I said, it makes you think at times. You're like, going, wow, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you laugh at times. It's a fantastic, fantastic show.
Alrighty.
If you don't like it, stop listening to this podcast. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
All right. So,
but the opening theme is like. Da, 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 da. I love it.
All right, so that is our top 10 shows to help fill the void of Lost.
Right.
And I think they're all shows that they kind of help fit these gaping holes in our hearts now that Lost is over. And I think that all of you guys will enjoy.
Yeah, pick one this summer. Just pick
you can
one.
Pick a lot of them. Well, summer,
pick,
I think.
Pick a couple and send us the feedback whether you agreed with us or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you have seen it, say, okay, you know, we'll obviously we're not experts. We're just giving our opinion. But like I said, I pretty much agree with Jay's list. And of course, my list is spot on.
All right, Jack, we have a few emails we're going to get into for listener feedback.
Yeah, we'll go real fast because I know we're running out of time. But we're still getting quite a few emails. So
here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. I have a few emails to get into here to kind of help lessen the load for next week's podcast.
Lessen the load.
Lower the load.
Lower the load. I'll go first. Okay. This one's from Colin. This one, we've gotten a few emails on this one. This was the first one I saw, so that's the one I picked. Claire and her hair. Because remember I said my first name was Claire and her hair. I think she had bad hair because in season one, Kate and Claire were going through the luggage, and Claire asked Kate if she had found a brush, and Kate said she didn't. Even more reason for Claire wanting to kill Kate.
Good point.
Yeah, I forgot about that in season one that she forgot, but a lot of people remind us that Claire was looking for a hairbrush, but she couldn't find one. Maybe some shampoo would have been nice, too.
This one's from Kevin. Would the world have ended if Man in Black got off the island? Nobody knows. Not Jacob, not Man in Black, not Darlton, and there was never meant to be any clarity on the issue. When there's a real threat of destruction in a piece of fiction, and we're meant to understand that the risk is real, there is always clear foreshadowing, usually in the form of a vision of the future. I refer to you to the alternate doomsday realities of Heroes or Sarah Connor's dreams of the nuclear holocaust in Terminator 2 to create a tension that they are fighting against a real, unambiguous apocalypse. You should show it in some form. If you don't, then you're probably A, never planning to answer that question, B, using the uncertainty as a storytelling device and as part of the creation. Part of the experiments you're not going to know, and you can't. I do not think the world was going to end, honestly. I just think that Man in Black couldn't get off the island and probably did not know he couldn't get off the island. Just so happened that pulling the plug on Alan, so to speak, would allow him to leave as a regular human, but he was never going to be getting off as Smokey. For me, I always kind of saw the parallel in the season two story arc of the hatch and pushing the button. And to me, it's kind of that same. And the thing that I liked about it is they didn't kind of show us whether it was there or not. It's because in life, and the big questions in life, is you're never completely certain on what the answer is. And you kind of have to go on your gut, on your faith of what you think's going to happen. And that's where I always kind of liked how the way the button was pushed is like, do I push it? Do you not push it? And in the end, when he decided not to push it, the whole thing was going to explode. Luckily, Desmond sacrificed himself to do that.
Allegedly.
And so I think the overall kind of last story kind of had that same parallel from season two, was if he leaves, something really bad could happen, and we can't let him leave. But you're totally entitled to believe that nothing that the world was going to end, but I believe the world was going to end.
I got to agree with Kevin. I didn't think the world
was going to end. I think there was enough foreshadowing given to show without blatantly showing in our face that the world was going to end.
I just go by the people that were telling us the world was going to end. I don't believe them. So
okay.
Widmore and some of the others, come on, not buying it. But that's like he said, that was a question probably we're never going to answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those questions they want us to debate about forever.
Exactly.
This one's food drop question. This one's from Nicole. I always thought that since it seemed that Eloise was still helping the others, she would send Dharma food drops. So the people in the hatch still thought it was going on, they would continue pushing the button. So was Eloise behind the food drop?
Could be. She always seemed to be known.
That's the best explanation we have, isn't it?
Or somebody, maybe Widmore could have too.
I don't see. Why would Widmore do it?
He's the one who sent Desmond there.
Well, the only reason Widmore would do it is because he doesn't want the island to be destroyed.
Exactly.
Because he sometime
he wanted to
return back to the island
and
get killed.
Consume its power.
Get killed by
Ben.
Men in Lock. Or Ben. It was Ben. I'm sorry.
This one's titled MIB. I think if MIB did get off the island, nothing would happen. But when the survivors of Oceanic A-15 eventually die, even if it's just old age, they will all go to hell because they didn't complete their mission in life. So, in stopping Man in Black, they completed the test that Echo was always on about and earned their spot in heaven. Once again, it's just theory. Steve from England.
Yeah, that one I go with.
I don't know. I don't go with that one so much. I'm more that the world really would have ended
based on the magnetic properties. You want to say the cheerleader saved the world?
No, because we saw how boring and lame that was when that happened.
Well, that's if the cheerleader didn't get saved, the world was going to end.
No.
Am I right? Lame.
It was bad. Right, I don't even think why are we bringing heroes into this conversation.
It was mentioned in Kevin's email.
Yes, but you know, no, I for me, just they've gave enough foreshadowing with the magnetic elements of the island as to why. But that's just me and the way I view.
It's one of those questions that once we watch, that's one we should focus on in the rewatch. Yeah,
definitely
look focus on the rewatch. Look for different things that are going on,
mm-hmm.
and see. Well, okay, maybe we trust this character a little more than we trust that character.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably trust Desmond more than I'd trust Widmore.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have trusted... But, you know, the first couple of seasons, I wouldn't have trusted Desmond.
Definitely.
Because Desmond was kind of he was a coward. But it turns out he wasn't really a coward.
No, in the end, he manned up. All right, Jack, do you have any more emails?
That's it.
All right, so thank you, everyone, for your emails. We have a lot of phone calls. Keep calling at 206-090-311 and sending us emails because we're going to have a big listener feedback show next week. So, Jack, you ready to close out the show?
Yes.
All right, here we go. All right, guys, that is our show.
More of a little less Lost, a little more.
Well, kind of, it's Lost related in that these were our top 10 shows to help fill the Lost void.
Yeah, I know there'll be one person out there going, this show has nothing to do with Lost.
But if you'd like to give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call any time.
That's 206-309-0311. Call any time with Lost questions, comments, and or...
Theories. What happened there? You kind of lost...
You lost the rhythm.
Did I lose the rhythm?
I don't know.
I got the rhythm.
But you can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/jandjack or our individual accounts at twitter.com/crackpotjack.
And I finally passed the 4,000.
Did you pass 4,000?
Finally got... Yesterday I was at 399.
Uh-huh.
Then I said something about... on this week... Well, you're too late now, but on AMC this week, they're having 24 hours of Clint Eastwood.
Uh-huh.
So I posted that, immediately lost three people. You know what I think they should have on Twitter?
What?
They should have a thing that this person is no longer following you. You can't do it like a coward. Now, I've stopped following people for certain reasons. Like in Jay and Jack, I don't do it a lot.
Uh-huh.
But if someone's kind of being a jerk, I go, you know, I don't need this. So I stop following. I've done a couple on mine,
mm-hmm.
but not too often. I don't care so much. But there should be a little thing on there that says, so people, I'm no longer, if they take the time to follow you, and you know they're following you, because
I think those ones that kind of go and go away are just the kind of spam accounts that are just kind of following you to try and gain your, to follow them. And if you don't follow them, they just drop you.
Okay.
That's what I think it is.
But if someone stops following you, I mean, all at once, like I lost three right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe someone's just playing around. They don't want. I should find out. They should tell me who. Not that I would do anything. I don't care.
I don't know. You sound like you're ready to like start a war or something.
I might start a war. You never know.
But no, yeah.
Band of Brothers too.
But yeah, I don't know. I think for me, the way I kind of see those ones that kind of come and go are the ones that are just kind of following you to try and gain more followers. They're not like real.
Yeah, I don't like those people either. The fake one. Like you'll say something. That's the one I always like. All of a sudden, you'll say something, and then it comes up.
Or maybe it's just like how the system works. Maybe it's not even really you're losing them. It's just, I don't know, some glitch in the system. Twitter does that. I mean, people lose.
Well, now I don't care. I can drop down to zero.
You made it.
My goal was to get to 4,000
because
I was so close for so long, and I didn't make it. But now I'm at 4,000. Now I can stop.
Now I gotta get to 4,000. Got a ways to go though.
Yeah, well. I'll help. I'll follow Jay on Friday. I'll do follow. I've never done Follow Friday.
You haven't?
Have I done it? I might have done it in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but I've not done it since.
All right.
I retweeted someone's Back to the Future information yesterday, and it was wrong about how it being 20. I don't know.
It was. It was like 25 years ago. Not too long ago.
But
like this
they're
week or something.
They're saying that he set the clock in 2015. I don't know.
No, I think it came out like 25 years ago today or something like
that's
that.
What I thought it was said, but I didn't read the whole tweet, but people are like upset. No, it's not that.
All right, guys.
Because I joked around with one person. I said, well, I'm a little more upset that maybe that's who stopped following me, because I said, they were saying, I'm just really upset about this and people are putting this wrong information. I go, well, I'm really worried about the second recession coming along, but you know, to each other, we all have our own hobbies. Maybe he
that
stopped.
Might have done it.
Maybe he stopped following
that
me.
That might have done it.
I put LOL at the end. I was joking. It was... we all have things that we have that make us tick and make us go.
All right, Jack.
I get some people care about Back to the Future. I care about having a paycheck.
We'll see you later. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.